We're going to start a new series this morning, I believe, by the direction of the Holy Ghost. Is that how you do things? Yes, even if I don't want to do it that way, and I really didn't want to do it this way, I wanted to go some other way, but I pray and I figure out what the Holy Ghost is saying to me, and he says, go in this direction, so we just go here. It's as simple as that. What's that called? That's called being Spirit-led. Being led by the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of the world? Your own Spirit? No, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the authority of the believer. And I know a lot of us have heard about the authority of the believer. I have too. Huh. Imagine that. Well, I'm going to take it down a road you may never have thought of before. Because we're going to ratchet it up a notch. Well, go with me to 1 John 5:4. This won't be our foundation scripture. I'll get there in about three more. But I really want to lead you into this in the right way. 1 John 5:4, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your glory that is in the word. I thank you for your Holy Ghost that wrote the word. I thank you that you've given us written word that we may go by and not go astray. I love your word. I thank you for it. I ask you to help us today to hear and see and know what you are speaking to the churches. In Jesus' name, amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith overcomes something. What does it overcome? The world. The whole world? Yeah, the whole world. Everything you got, everything in your world, what's the victory that overcomes it? Our faith. Overcome. It is the victory. So is faith a good thing? Is faith, why do you preach on faith so much? Because of this. Because of this verse. Do people need to overcome things in the world? Is your mother-in-law in the world? Who's, what's in the world? Just about everything you have to do with. Right? So there's an overcoming. What does overcome mean? It means to be on top of it, to be over it. And you'll see this while we're talking about the authority of the believer, so already might be catching on, okay? Being over something. Does God want you under your circumstances? No, he wants you over them. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You'll be over the situation. You'll be over the circumstance, over it, not under. Everybody say, not under, over. We're going to be over the world. This is important. Y'all still here? Yes. Get on with it, bro. You don't know, I'm feeling y'all. I want to see how far I can take this thing. All right? 9:23, Mark. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. How many things are possible to you if you believe? All things are possible to you that believes. All things. Now, would that be helpful when you're overcoming the world? I think so. They kind of go along the same lines. What is believing but faith? You believe, you overcame it. Did Jesus have some faith he could walk on the water? Did it overcome the water? Hang on. Go to Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Where's this nothing going to be impossible? In the world? Yes, with God, but where? Where with God? Where are you? You're in this world. Your faith is going to overcome the world, and it's with God. Hallelujah. Brother, I've seen all these things before. Maybe. Have you only read the scripture once? You think you got it all? I didn't get it all. I've read these things 100 times, and I still don't have it all. What is possible for you that believes? All things. For with God nothing shall be impossible. There is two important words here. With God. Apart from God, a few things may be possible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. So, with God. So who are you going to be with when all these things are possible? You're going to be with God. Now, listen to me. I'm just trying to build a foundation here, right? Faith is the victory. Your faith is the victory that overcomes the whole world. All of it. You are a world overcomer. And with God, nothing's impossible to you. And nothing's impossible if you believe. So where are you positionally? At least with God. In faith, you're over the circumstance. You're over the world. In faith. What about Peter? He started to go under the water, didn't he? What happened? He started to doubt. What lifted Peter back up? Jesus and his mercy. Of course you're going to believe when Jesus is grabbing onto your hand and holding you up. I believe now. Well, come on. At least he got out of the boat, right? All right. Now this is our foundation scripture. I hope you're ready for this. Luke 7 and verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Now I just want to say one thing here. There are different kinds of meetings, and you can see the different kinds of meetings in Jesus' ministry. There were times when it was just from morning to night, he just prayed for people. Healed the sick. Cast out demons, right? That would have been a healing deliverance meeting, you could say. There was a time when it was just him and his disciples, and they went and they had communion together. What kind of a meeting? Was anybody healed there? Did he cast demons out of anybody? No, one demon left. Well, that was a communion meeting. Well, what is this? What did he just say here? Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. That was it. This meeting was specifically for saying things to people. He ended the sayings that he did into the audience, meaning into the ears of the people. He put words into them and then went into the next town. This was the main thing Jesus did. He went from town to town preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. When they didn't believe him, what did he do? He taught more. Why? So their faith would increase. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now... So Jesus balked this saying, whatever they said to him. Here's the elders coming to him. Hey, this guy, he's a centurion, I know. But he's built us a synagogue. He's really nice. He loves our nation. And Jesus just went along. He said, okay, here I go. He dropped whatever he was doing and just... went with him, right? He's worthy that you should do this. He loves our nation. He's built us a synagogue. And then Jesus went with him. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. So look at this man's attitude already. Everybody around him is saying, this man is worthy. The way he functions is worthy. What he does is worthy that you can come into his house and pray for his kid or his servant. He's worthy of this. Look at the man's attitude. He hears this is going on behind his back, and he says, no, no, no. I'm not worthy that you could come under my roof. I know about the Jews. I know I'm a Gentile. I know. This is important. Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, you know I could preach on this for about 25 messages. Hallelujah. Why? Because faith is released in words. But I'm not gonna. Even though I wanted to. This is what I was talking about earlier. This is what I think about when I think about the authority of the believer, words and things like that. But hang on. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed, for I also. Everybody say also. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Look, and he's saying more here. I really have to hold myself back from going in this direction. He says, I'm a man under authority. I know about words. If you say the word only, my servant will be healed. For I say to one servant, go, and he goes. To another one, do this, he does it. I know how this works, especially in words, but we're not going there. Even though I just did a little bit. Hallelujah. For I also am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. I say unto one, go, he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he heard something. You think he just heard the words, or did he hear something behind it? We'll see in a second here. He's heard a whole lot of things. And there's a lot of things going on in here that sometimes we don't hear. But we're going to hear them. Because we're going to come up to another level of what he's talking about. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Jesus marveled at this man. He turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house and found the servant whole that had been sick. I have not found so great faith. No, not now. Now listen. What about faith? Remember, what do we say? Faith is what's going to put you over the world in the place of authority which you should be. Have we established that? I went through that quick, but it was necessary. You're not to be under the circumstance. You're not to be under the world. You're supposed to be over the world. Circumstances, financially, physically, your marriage, and all of these things. You're supposed to be over the world. What's going to get you there? Your faith, great faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Jesus said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So here's one man, that Jesus said, this guy's example of faith is greater than anybody else that I've seen. You think he knew something about it? What did this man know about faith that made him so great? Now, what do you want to be? Okay, this is where you're at now. Do you want to be great in faith? We all know a little bit about faith. We've all had our faith work a little bit here and there. And we go, oh, look at that. That worked. Who knew? Obviously not you. It worked. But do you want to have great faith? Well, if you have great faith, you overcome the world greatly. Does this make sense? If you have wee little bitty faith, you just overcome little wee wee little bitty things in the world. In the world. It's not even the world. It's the world. What do you want, people? You ready to come up to the next level of great faith? We could have faith, but do we want great faith? I'm telling you, there's a price to pay. Great faith. Look at this man. Look at this centurion. He wasn't even Jewish. And he was doing all the things that were right. Jesus said he had great faith. All right, you guys are ready. Jesus marveled. Verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned about to them that followed him and said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Go back up to verse 8. For I, this is the centurion talking, for I also am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. I really hope you guys are ready for this. I also, this centurion perceived something about Jesus that other people didn't see. He perceived that Jesus was a man set under authority. He understood authority. He understood rank. He understood where people were supposed to be. He understood what was under them. And most of the authority of the believer comes across from the side of, hey, and this is true. This is true. The world is under you. That's where I started it from. These things are to be under you and your faith. Everything in the world. But this man perceived, he had great faith, greater than any faith in Israel. He perceived that Jesus was a man set under authority. He said, I also am a man set under authority, just like you. Bible said he had great faith because he perceived that Jesus was a man set under authority. Oh, and I hope I can bring you here. You're going to have to see that everything Jesus did in the earth, he did it as a man under authority. If you perceive Jesus as being anything other than a man set under authority, and we do this, believe me, he is the Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is at the right hand of the Father. But he did everything in the earth as a man under authority. And guess what? You're called to do the same thing as a man under authority in the same thing, in the same name. And if you don't get that, you'll miss the whole thing. I also am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. So if I just go real quickly, what are the soldiers under you? It'd be everything in the world. And we'll get there. It'd be all the demons and devils and all those things. They're under you in Jesus' name. But who's over you? Jesus was under authority. Proper alignment. Understanding who you are and where you are. You will never go in power beyond your ability to submit to the authority over you. Where did you think Jesus got his power from? Even as a young boy, did he have power? He walked around. Dad would come in, slay a rabbit. Jesus would come and raise it. They could never eat anything. He'd try to kill the chickens. Jesus would heal them. Because he just did whatever he wanted to do. Did Jesus do whatever he wanted to do? He was a man. The Bible said he found himself as a man and he submitted himself. Glory be to God. No, Jesus didn't just do it. And it wasn't until the Holy Ghost came on him, the Spirit of the Lord, that he began to walk in the power of what? Himself? He walked in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And so you will never walk in this great faith that overcomes the world until you're in submission to where this great faith comes from. And the greater you're in submission to God, the greater your power will be on the other end. Does that make sense? Talk about a big can of worms. Hallelujah. But you will never increase beyond your ability to submit to the power of God, the Word of God, and the structure that God has set up. Now this centurion, was he the top? No. He said, I have people over me. He would have had a general over him. So we see this only on one way, at least I have in Word of Faith circles. I've only seen this other side, the other side, the other side, the other side, that the centurion had soldiers under him. And he knows, I say to one man, go, he goes. Another one coming, he comes. But he said, I'm under authority. He got his power from where? Himself? He got his power from the government and the people that were over him. He wouldn't have had it if he was just Mr. Centurion. Where'd you get your power from? Oh, I just got it myself. I'm Mr. Powerful Centurion. Look at all my slaves. They do whatever I say. No, they only do what he says because he's doing what somebody else told him. It's the same way. There's structure in the kingdom of God. And we will never flow in great faith, great power, great dominion in all the things of the earth until we are in the right structure. This gets good, and I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:5. I will take you there real quick. You will never increase in your power and ability to overcome the world until you increase in your ability to submit to the things of God. His word, his spirit, his glory, his name. How would the centurion increase in power? How would he go up from being a centurion to a, what would be the next one? A millurion. How would he do that? It would be by some authority over him, increasing his authority, then he would have more scope underneath him. Does that make sense? Does a general have more authority than a private? A private has authority over his own shoes and his bed to keep it straight. And maybe his gun or his weapon. But then he comes up a little higher, then he's got some authority over some of the privates. His authority over things increased as his authority under things increased. We all just want to go to the head of the pack. Well, I want to be a general. Well, there's a way to get there. But it comes by an increase of authority over you, increasing under the things that are over you. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He submitted his will, he submitted his life to the authority of somebody else. Are you going to be any different? Not if you're following the Lord. Is he ranked over you? Yeah. He's the Lord. There is no one ranked over him, by the way. As far as you're concerned. Right? What about in the military? Who's over you? Your direct commander right over you. These things are so very important. I'm seeing them clearer and clearer every day. This is the way God's kingdom works. If we want to increase, that's why I say we're ratcheting it up a notch. Do you want great faith? Then you're going to have to learn how to be in the authority. And increase with the authority over you so that you can have more authority under you. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. We know what happened here, right? Jesus was about 12 years old. They went to Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice. Have to sacrifice the lamb or whatever they did back then. They went. It was a big trip. It was a big deal. Load up the animals because we're going. We got to take the sheep, little Fluffy. They've been feeding the fatted lamb here. And we're going to take them. We're going to go here. It was a big deal. They had to travel from wherever they were. And it's not like us. They don't just get in their cars and drive down to Massachusetts. Think if you had to go to Massachusetts on the back of a mule. Dragging Lammy behind you. Wouldn't be fun, would it? You'd be wishing you were there and back. Now you can see why they were so angry when they got halfway back and Jesus wasn't there. They thought he was out running around with the other kids. But he wasn't. He stayed back there. And so, were they worried about him? You're still here. So Jesus had stayed behind, and this is where we find him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, the teachers, the instructors. Both hearing them and asking questions. Sitting, it means he was submitting to them. He was submitting to their instruction. He was hearing them. He was asking them questions. Teach me. Where do you think he learned the law? He had to learn it from somebody teaching it to him and reading it. Verse 48, and they were amazed when they saw him. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us this way? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my own affairs? No, I must be about my father's business. He was submitting to the authority of the teachers, Jesus, at an early age, saying this was the father's business. Are you doing the father's business? Wherever you're at. Verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Everybody say subject. He was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things and sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in stature and in favor with God and man. How did Jesus increase? By being in submission and subjection. Even here, do we see this? Is this the Bible? All the parents are saying, yes, amen, it is the Bible. There's a rod in there too. But what did he grow? Did he grow in favor with just the neighbors? He grew in favor with God, which means God is starting to, he's growing in authority with God. His authority in God and under God is growing, which means what? Underneath him, he's going to obtain more authority over the things of the world. Matthew 12:28. Hallelujah. Jesus was going about the Father's business, submitting. Do you think he just stopped the Father's business when he went home and he started submitting to his parents? No, that was part of the Father's business. He had to. Children, obey your parents, which is right in the Lord. What did he? They probably told that to him while he was sitting down there. Who? The scribes and the priests. He was learning the word. He was submitting himself to every jot and tittle of the word. How can you submit to everything in the Word if you don't know the Word? That's why he was there listening and learning and hearing what the Spirit was saying, even in those men. It was still the Word of God. He was about the Father's business. Now he's grown up. He's received the Holy Ghost. Look at here, verse 28, chapter 12 of Matthew. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. How is Jesus casting out demons? By his own authority? How is the centurion ruling over these men? What if the guy over the centurion just took him out and said, you messed up, you're out of here? Those men are still in subjection to who? Those men are still under the authority of everybody up above them. What if General walks into the room? Do they have to listen to him? Yeah. The authority doesn't end or begin with you. You are a man or woman under authority, having soldiers under you. You want more under you? Then you're going to have to be lifted up in the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And we're all in the same battle. We're all in the same army. We all win. But there is authority and structure in the kingdom of God. And the more we can learn to submit to it, guess what? That's how we increase. What, are you going to grow in your own structure somewhere else?
I don't believe in authority. I'm just going to grow myself in my own garden.
Some people do that. Some people separate themselves from the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And then they end up withering and dying somewhere. Jesus cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Go to Luke 9, verse 1. People don't like this topic because it gets right down under their skin. And nobody likes to submit to anything, especially in America. We're a nation that became a nation because we refused to submit to them. All right. Our heroes are, you know, they've got big heads of them on Mount Rushmore. Those were traitors to the king. Well, they're like our heroes. So we have this deep down on the inside of us where, no, we're independent, rugged individualists. Right? We don't like this nation. In fact, you and me, we're going to form a militia. I mean, it's wired into us, right? It's wired into us. But in the church, the key to having great faith. Are you still here? The key to having great faith, not just faith. We can all have faith, but to have great faith. And I want great faith. I want you to have great faith. It's going to be to come under submission to the authorities that God has put in the church. And then our authority will increase. Do you want great faith? Have you understood what I've said so far? Does it make sense? Because it's not fun. You think the centurion really liked getting together with the people that were over him? I think it was all fine and good, wasn't it? When they'd leave him alone, and he could go and just, you know, tell his servants to do whatever. That's all fine and good until Big Boss bangs on the door and says, I want to talk with you. And then immediately, he gets all nervous and quivery, but he doesn't show it because he's a tough guy. But the point is, it was not fun. And it's not always fun. Do you think it was fun for Jesus in the garden to submit his will to the will of the Father and the Holy Ghost telling him he's going to have to go through this slaying on a cross and the whippings? He sweat blood over it. But what did he submit? His own will to the will of the one who sent him. And he said at any minute, I could just call a bunch of angels. And they would come get me off of here. What would that be? That would be the authority that's under him. He could have called them and said that. Get me out of here. Let's form our own militia. I'm done with this. But he didn't, thank God. And is he our example? Or are we just going to pick a different one now that he did that? That means we submit our will when we don't want to, just like Jesus did, to the authority over us. And it doesn't always look good. It's not always fun. Actually, it rarely is. Now, the end result is good for us, always. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If he didn't do that, he wouldn't have been set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. Did we read that? No. Luke 9. You there? Yeah. And then he called his 12 disciples. We've talked about disciples before. It means discipline, doesn't it? Discipline. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Now let me ask you a question. Who gave them this power? Somebody that was over him. Jesus gave them the power over the power of the devil. He gave them the authority to be over the devil. What if Jesus took it away? They wouldn't have it anymore. So were they under somebody? Absolutely, they were under what Jesus told them to do, when to go, and he gave them his name. They submitted themselves to Jesus, did what he said, used the name he gave them, and they went in whose therefore authority and power? Jesus is. See, this is what it never becomes our authority. It never becomes our power. It's always the authority and power that we're under. It's always the authority and power that we're under. You getting this? That's why this is so important. And the closer and the greater we can be in the correct alignment under the authority that God's given and put us in that position and stay there, the greater our scope and potential and authority and power of things under us will be. What if we decide to do it our own way? Then we lose that, because the authority is not our own. It comes from above us. And we never like anybody over us, do we? Well, change. Have your brain washed a little bit. Yes, I love it. I love it when people tell me to do things I don't want to do. Well, you be the first one then. But do you do it? Yes, you do. Why? Because you're under authority and over authority. Great faith. You want great faith? I'm showing you how to get it. You can have it, but it's not always fun. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God. Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You hear? They return saying, this is a kick. This is a riot. Even the demons are subject to us, meaning they bow. If you look up the word, it means they just bow to you in Jesus' name. You're in his name, they bow. What if they did it in the name of Peter? Or Josephus? Would they have bowed? No, because he'd stepped out of the authority he was under. And then those demons wouldn't have had to obey. See why Jesus said this man had great faith? He understood what authority he was under. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And you will never, I'm saying this, you will never increase in the authority that God has for you in the kingdom of God. And you'll never increase until you go over all the things of the world that God has obviously told you to be in faith. This is the victory. Your faith overcomes the world, all these things. And it may be one of the reasons why things haven't showed up so much. Because you're not into proper alignment. You're not submitting yourself to the right authority to have that dominion that's been given to you. So is that bad news or good news? This is good news. Correction is good news. It really is. Because when you can be corrected, you can start standing in alignment. You can start standing in the right proper position you're supposed to be in. And then you have increased authority and power. That's what you want. Increased authority and power. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So they submitted themselves to the name of Jesus, and demons were subject to them. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I don't know if you're ready for this. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Do you think Jesus is all of a sudden talking about some different topic here? You know, because Jesus just randomly picks things out of the air. No, he's talking about authority. He's talking about being in proper alignment. And he said, I beheld Satan fall. Well, you mean in the beginning of time, you know, when Jesus was there and he's just remembering this stuff. We think of this. Because Jesus existed from the foundation of the world and he beheld this whole thing that happened before. No, he, as a man, one of the revelations Jesus had was he saw Satan fall. He saw him fall out of authority. He saw him come down and lose his glory and come down to a lower level. He had a revelation. Jesus had a revelation of where this pattern of authority was. And he saw that it was under, and now he has a name that's over these things. And he gave his name to somebody else. Now you go and do it. Take this name, because I had this revelation. I saw Satan fall to a lower place of authority. Take this name. Now you go in this name. Are you going to have the same revelation? Yes. You're going to have a revelation of where Satan fell from. And then you put yourself in God's kingdom and automatically they're under you. Automatically. Does that mean you're the top of the kingdom of heaven, though? No, you're still in submission to all the things that God has, and you can rise up in it. Nobody's holding you back. Nobody's saying, no, you cannot be a general ever. What about a career? If you're a career military guy, that's what you'd be looking for. The pay raises, you'd be looking to doing the right things, shining the right shoes to go up in the kingdom, to go up higher, to go up higher. Why? Because then you have more authority. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. Everybody say under heaven. Given among men, whereby we must be saved. Where is this name? It is under the authority of heaven. Where is it? It is given among men, whereby we must be saved. Do you see the authority going both ways, people? We've only preached one side of the authority, believer, and I can do that. But I truly believe you will never have the full potential of the authority of the believer until you see both sides of authority. The authority that's over you and the authority that's under you. That's the authority of the believer. The authority of the believer over, the authority of the believer under. And it's when people, believers, get out from under the authority of heaven that they start getting weird. They start going off in the other realm. They still try to exercise power over the demons in Jesus' name. They still do all this stuff, and they're not submitted to the authorities that God has established. You do that, you focus on that, you submit yourself to that, and your power over the devil will increase. Isn't that what you want? Do you want the power over the devil? We know this, right? What if you could just enter the room just like Jesus did? Jesus was coming across the lake. He was asleep, for goodness sakes. And the demons hated it. They were trying to drown him in his boat. The Bible says as he stepped out on the shore, he was already casting the demon out. He came over there. That's the only one thing he did over there. He went over into that place just to cast one demon out of that crazy man in the tomb. Well, not one demon, many demons. Nobody else could. And how many times did the disciples say, well, we couldn't do it because of our unbelief? Great faith comes from an understanding of great authority and the weight of the authority on top of you, as well as your authority over the things that are under you. This name is under heaven. Let me read that again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You are under this name, and you're under the whole authority of the kingdom of heaven. Why would we want to get out of it? When the Bible says, you know, wives, submit yourselves to your husband, there's a reason for that, so that you're under that weight and the authority of the kingdom of heaven. So that your power over the world can increase. So you can have great faith and not just wee-wee faith. Wee-wee? Yeah, wee-wee. You want great faith? Then we're going to submit to all the authorities that God has set up in his church and in his kingdom and in his word. And then our faith will increase and we'll have great faith. Faith is a law and it will work anyway. Faith will work for the sinner. But will it work much better for someone who has the authority of the kingdom of heaven resting on him, and he's in proper alignment with the glory of God? Absolutely. But faith will work irregardless. It just won't work as well. It won't be great faith, and Jesus won't marvel at you. It won't be marvelous faith. It'll just be wee faith. Yes, it worked. That's believing God for increase. And as I was walking into Walmart, I saw a quarter on the ground, and I picked it up. Praise the Lord. And yet they weren't in subjection to their husbands, and they weren't in subjection to the church, and they weren't in subjection to anything except they were believing God with their words. And words work. Believe me, I wanted to go down that trail. Now I get slapped. No, don't go down that trail. Go down this trail, because this is what people need to hear. They need to know that they got to be in alignment with the authority of heaven. And when they are, then great power, great faith, great miraculous things will happen. It's one reason why tithing isn't up. People can tithe without being in great faith. People can tithe without being in proper alignment. People can tithe without being under subjection to the authority of the church. And guess what happens? Very little. They go year by year by year by year. But when they start to submit, they start to get in line, they start to move themselves under the authority that God has, all of a sudden things begin to break out. Brother, you're being rough on us. I know. It's like a general slapping somebody. Calling yourself a general? No, I'm a guy in a shirt. I got slapped, so I'm telling you. How about that? I'm doing the same thing. I'm learning how to submit myself to the authority of the kingdom of heaven in the name of heaven, in the name of Jesus, in the word of God. Because if I can do that better, more accurately than the power and the things that I'm in authority over increases. And that's what I want. That's the goal. World domination, brother. You don't think that's where this is going? That's where this is going. And part of my responsibility as a pastor is to pray for you, make sure that you get in proper alignment. Because I'm responsible. Don't go out and do something stupid. So I get yelled at. James 4:7. We'll end with this. But believe me, this is not the end. Hallelujah. It's just the beginning. Submit yourselves. Notice how I use this word submit. I put it at the last one. People don't like this word. Submit yourselves. So does that mean you can be forced into submission? No. Force your wife into submission. Listen to me, woman. Force your wives into submission, the Bible said. No, the Bible said submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Why is under the Lord? Because it's under the authority of the Lord. It's for your benefit. It's so that your authority will increase. He said, if you don't do it, your prayers will be hindered. What would your prayers? What answers prayers? Faith. Faith in your prayer is what causes it to come to pass. So we're looking at ways to draw in things, make it tighter so we can have quicker answers, faster manifestations. Greater power, greater dominion in the earth. And this is the way the church has got to be if we're going to be world overcomers. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why did he put this first? Authority. You're submitting yourself to the authority of God. And when you do, you resist the devil, he flees.
Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You know how many times I've heard that? Just resist the devil.
No, submit yourself to God, his word, his authority, the way he does things, the way he thinks. And it's all encompassing. You're submitting yourself to God, spirit, soul, and body, and financially, and every other way you can think of. You're submitting yourself. That's what you're concentrating on. Yourself. Can anybody make you do this? Could anybody make Jesus submit himself? He wrestled with it in the garden until his will had to bow to the will of God, and then he went with it. He didn't want to go. And you're not always going to want to go either. But the fruit and benefit's going to be good. Hallelujah. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why isn't the devil fleeing? Why isn't he fleeing? I got scripture here to tell you why he's not fleeing. You're not submitting to God. Well, brother, I think I am. Well, there must be then an issue. Because if you're submitting to God, the Bible says he will flee from you. So where's the key here? Greater submission. Greater alignment with the authority of heaven so that your authority as a believer will increase. And that's what we want. Great faith. This wasn't a message about wee little faith. This is a message about great faith. Your faith will increase the greater you submit yourself to the things of God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. I thank you for the people here today. I thank you that that word is now in them. It has been spoken in the audience of the people. They have received it. It is now as a seed growing up in them. I ask for great revelation to come upon them that they may see areas of their life where they may be out of order, where they may be out of alignment with your authority, with your kingdom, so that the result is greater dominion in the earth, greater authority under them. In Jesus' name, I believe I receive it. I thank you for it. Amen.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him?
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.